What up, Misfits? Welcome to the Misfit Heroes Podcast. My name is Chris, and together we are going on a journey. Misfits, it's time to play the game. Tonight's guest is a pastor who shares his testimony in the gospel of Jesus Christ with his followers and randoms that he plays video games with while streaming esports online. Now, I'm not a huge esports fan. I've tried watching some streamers, but I honestly just don't like watching other people play video games. I'd rather just play them myself. And that puts me in the minority. Look, Ma, I made it. Every day, over 3 million people watch the streaming service Twitch, and there are over 8 million streamers on the site as of 2022. But not all of those streams are so wholesome. From inappropriate comments and online stalkers to legitimate terrorist attacks being live streamed on the platform, the site can be less than kid-friendly at times. And this pastor thinks that that place needs Jesus. Pastor Stephen N. has amassed a crazy following across social media, and he uses his platform to share the gospel and message of positivity and hope through the joy of Jesus Christ while blasting each other on Fortnite and Call of Duty. Misfits, Mark 16 says to proclaim the gospel to every creature. This is how it's done in 2022. Please welcome Pastor Stephen Noguera.
Playing the Misfit Heroes Podcast.
Well, Stephen, welcome to the Misfit Heroes Podcast. You are doing something that I think is very innovative. I like what you're doing, man. You're sharing Christ through gaming. And that's just really interesting to me. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the kinder words and I appreciate the words. Thanks. Thanks for having me on. I'm actually excited for this.
Don't worry. I've got a YouTube comment section too, so I know all about the kind words. I'm only coming with the positivity today.
There you go.
Well, yeah, man. Well, let's introduce people to you to a little bit. So, I mean, how long have you been a pastor? And, you know, what sort of, can you tell us your testimony a little bit? Like, what led you to Christ?
Yeah. So I've been titled pastor for 6 years or so. I've been doing youth ministry for about nine altogether. I wasn't a Christian my entire life. Didn't know anything about God. I became a Christian at the age of 21. I mean, was involved with just really bad stuff. And somebody led me to a church. I went in thinking nothing of it, heard testimonies, kind of what we're sharing right now. And it was a game changer. I didn't become a Christian, but it got me to come back. You know, and after two or three times of coming back, I was at a young adult service and I'd heard, you know, the story for the first time ever. You know, you'd be surprised, New York City, 21 years old, really never heard the story. So I heard the story, you know, the gospel for the first time, like life-changing, ran up. Ever since then, you know, life's been different and it's been a wild ride ever since then. So after that, I just wanted to learn. Like I was hungry. I'm very passionate in kind of everything I do. Like if I'm excited about YouTube, I just like live, breathe it, sleep it for the next 6 months. TikTok, like whatever it is, I kind of like just full blown jump into it. Yeah. So I wanted to learn as much as I could. So I was in every small group, every Bible study. I saw a Bible school show up and I was like, well, that's where I got to go. So went to the Bible school. All my friends were like, yeah, I'm here because I want to be a pastor. And I was like, that's cool. I became a Christian like weeks ago and I just want to learn. Yeah. That's all I'm here for. But it's funny because fast forward, everybody from my school is kind of off doing random jobs. And I'm one of the only few that actually jumped into ministry. I became a pastor because I started working at a bank. I met a couple because they had fraud on their account. And after meeting them through the bank several times, they walked up to me at a bank. Like they came to my Bank of America and they were like, hey, we're looking for a youth pastor. What do you think? And I ended up not taking that position, but it opened my eyes to like, I think God's trying to do something here, tell me something here. And, you know, one thing led to another. And now I've been in pastoral ministry for about 9 years. I'm a youth pastor in Washington and I love it. I love what I do online as well. But I equally love, you know, serving my local church.
Well, that's crazy, man. You know, it's amazing how God just pulls us in just like that. And it's so subtle too. It's so subtle. It's like, what are you doing, God?
Totally.
Yeah. So what made you want to sort of get into gaming? Like what made you want to sort of preach the gospel in gaming?
I've always kind of been a gamer at heart, like on and off. You know, I think your average, I call it your average dad gamer, even though I know women do it too, but I call it your average dad gamer. Like I've been that guy that you just get off of work, you have a PS4 or whatever you have, you boot up and you just play for an hour. Like I was always that person. So I've always been involved in gaming to an extent. But really, I hadn't played for a while. pandemic hit. 2022, the pandemic hit. Everybody's dispersed. Churches are trying to figure out what to do. How do you stay connected with people? I'm a youth pastor. I had these two students that I was just kind of disconnected with. I knew they were playing the newest Call of Duty. And I just said, you know what? I've got a PS4. I haven't played it in a while. Let's download Call of Duty and let me just hang out with these guys. No plans, anything else. Let me just occasionally hang out with them. And what would happen is these college students would invite me to play in their lobbies with their other college friends who are not Christians.
Right.
And it would be a joke like, oh, there's a pastor in the lobby, you know, and people would change their conversations or make jokes or, you know, whatever it would be in a Call of Duty kind of crazy lobby where people are usually inappropriate. But I ended up befriending these guys that I was playing with. And it rather than it be like, oh, let's joke about the pastor in the lobby, it was like, we can't wait for the pastor to join us again because it was fun.
Yeah.
And they would be on my side as a joke. Like we would play other games with other teams and the teams would be inappropriate. And they would find ways to get those guys on the mic and be like, pastor, pray for them now. You know, it'd be like this funny thing. So it just became this funny thing. But I realized that one night I had this conversation with this guy. I never met him in person for a while. And he asked me this hot topic question at like 1 a.m. in a Call of Duty lobby. And rather than play the game, we sat there, him, I, and like maybe 4 other guys in a lobby while him and I just went into it with this deep question that he asked. This really, you know, kind of controversial question, but we went into it. And at the end of it was him, after like an hour and a half in a Call of Duty lobby, was him saying, you know what? You're right. Like, I think I'm asking this question in the way I'm asking it because I don't want to live that way. You're right. I think this whole God thing's real. This dude becomes a Christian. I mean, he serves in his church like later on, and a light bulb went off of like, nobody else is doing this. So I got on Twitch, I started hunting. And at the time I realized nobody's doing this. There's not really a whole lot at the time of Christian content creators, you know, or family friendly. There's just not a whole lot of them.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning. A light bulb just kind of went off in my head during the pandemic.
The fact that you are witnessing to people, like, yeah, you're not face to face, but you went to where they're at, you know, and you weren't also the thing that, you know, kind of boggles my mind a little bit about that is you weren't like being a pastor, you know, you weren't like going specifically to go pick them up and be like, oh yeah, I mean, you know, let me talk to you about this. Like it was organic. I love that. I love that. It's beautiful, man. You said you've always been a gamer. I mean, are you good?
No.
I'm not good. Like I sit there and I've watched some of your videos and I'm wondering like, you know, if I'm trying to like see myself, like if I could do that. And I don't know, you know who Conan O'Brien is?
Yeah.
He's got this show. He's got a late night show and he does these segments or used to called Clueless Gamer. That is me.
Yeah.
It is so comical. I am so, so terrible. So it amazes me. Like I had a friend that was trying to teach me how to play not Fortnite. He's trying to teach me how to play Fortnite. And he's also trying to teach me how to play Minecraft and Minecraft specifically. I can't do those building games and stuff.
Yeah.
I was literally just walking around with a little pickaxe, picking stuff off the ground like this. Terrible. The worst. But I think it was pretty comical if you had watched it. But
that's funny.
So what's your favorite game to play? I mean, what are you into the most?
It changes over time. I've realized, I think everybody kind of has their like style of games. I've realized that no matter what I switch to, I always end up playing a first person shooter like Call of Duty or Fortnite or an Apex. I'm pretty much full blown a Fortnite player right now, which is funny because when I first started this whole thing online, I would joke with my community that like, we are always going to be a Call of Duty community. And I have TikTok videos with hundreds of thousands of views of me bashing Fortnite, just like talking crap about it, making all these funny things, calling it a kid's game. And that's all I do now. Like I'm a full blown Fortnite content creator. I don't even just play the game, but I make content about the game now. That's funny. It's funny how God will humble you, you know?
That's hilarious, man. I was looking through some of your videos. You've had all of these just tremendous experiences with people online. What's been your favorite sort of moment or person that you've reached when you've been streaming?
I started this whole thing reaching out to people randomly. They're called randoms. You play with a random person and that's the person we witnessed to. There was nobody doing this on Twitch. Now there's a huge amount of people and it's great. There's so many people that are better at it, but I've realized I've enjoyed making content online. Like, I think making that family friendly content is really needed with a Christian twist on it is such a big deal. And ever since then, I've had so many great encounters with people who are, or just students or kids that are proclaiming Christians or, you know, followers of Christ and just don't have it all together. You know what I mean? So I say all that to say, I've had so many encounters with people that are atheist, agnostic. I've had all these great conversations with people that, you know, didn't agree with my faith. But every time somebody asks me, what is the greatest encounter I've had? There's this kid named Alki. He's one of my mods now on my Twitch chat. And, you know, he's a believer. He was a 14-year-old eighth grader when I first met him online. But one night I was playing, I think it was Call of Duty at the time. And he's talking to me in my game. I'm just playing with him and somebody else from my community. And he shares with me his struggle, which is a struggle I had, you know, with addiction and pornography. And he shares with me his struggle. And I just kind of walk him through like, hey, man, this is the only thing that I found freedom in was confessing, like letting it out there. Who cares what people say? I care about God. And I want freedom. So I'm going to let everybody, you know, in my circle know. This eighth grader, after about an hour, you know, gets on his mic and says, hey, I think you're right. I need to actually get offline. I think God's telling me I need to talk to my parents right now. And then he goes silent. Like he gets off the chat. You know, I continue my stream thinking nothing of it, but he goes silent. He comes back and he's like, I just straight up told my parents. Like I was real honest with them, brutally honest. And, you know, he talks about how much freedom he had because of that. You know, he's in high school now. I know life is not perfect for him, but if you ask him now, because I'm still connected with him, what was a big game changer for him in his walk with faith? He always points back to that night. That's where awesome. This random guy on Twitch, you know, or in Call of Duty shared with him his testimony. He acted on it. And I mean, the guy is like a game changer when you meet him. He's just, yeah, if I was going in ministry in battle, I would take this little high schooler with me over almost anybody else because you could just see how passionate he is for God. And I just love that moment because, you know, I met him where he was. We were playing video games, but just what God could do with anybody if they were willing to is just amazing, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I've had similar experiences with this, with content creation the same way too. You know, I'm gonna give him a shout out right now. I've got this kid, Saheed. He is, I want to say, a freshman in high school, I believe. And he, you know, he came on my, he didn't come on my podcast, but he got into my comment sections. And it's the strangest thing to me. Like I'm a 40-year-old dude in North Carolina. I believe he's somewhere out in the Midwest or whatever, but he's leaving all these positive comments on all my stuff, and you know, I listen to your stuff every night, please keep doing what you're doing, I love your podcast. He put me in like my top five podcasts or whatever it is, you know. But it's like I've never met this dude in real life at all. Literally I've just seen like little videos and pictures of this person, and it's amazing the impact that we have as content creators and everything that we don't even really realize, you know.
Yeah, big time.
Did you know that guy Alfie beforehand, or like how did you guys like link up?
No, I'm pretty sure he found, you know, I probably made a TikTok video. I had a Discord community with thousands of Christian gamers to kind of connect. And I'm pretty sure he found, you know, it through there, jumped on a stream, became part of the community, and ever since then just has been part of the community. And it's funny because I haven't met him in real life in IRLs, gamers say, but I mean, I know him, you know, like we're so close. He texted me today. He's got a school project and he's been praying about ministry and stuff. He's got a school project that he's got to do for high school. And he texted me today to say, hey, you know, can I ask you some questions so I can interview you as a pastor besides my other pastors? Like, I mean, you know, he's on the top of my text message list right now.
That's awesome.
So it's just cool. I found it's cool. The kind of the connections you can make. I think in-person connections are so valuable. And I think the church was built for that. However, I do think that sometimes you don't change the message, but you can change the method to reach people. Yeah. And I'm just amazed at how you can have these prolonged relationships with people that you've never physically, you know, touched. It's pretty cool.
That's actually one of the things I want to talk to you about as well. So, you know, you're doing this online streaming and, you know, that's sort of targeted towards a much younger audience, if we're being real.
Yeah.
Proverbs 22:6, it talks about, you know, raising up a child in Christ. And, you know, if you eat them while they're young, they will be the same way as they're old. And do you think kids and, you know, younger people, do you think they're more apt to receive the gospel of Christ through a medium like this? Or do you think it's, you know, you're leading them to church? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a good starting point. I think it's one of those things, you're meeting them where they're at.
Yeah.
I don't believe, and I hope nobody agrees with, you know, the latter, but I don't agree that this should be the all for somebody. I don't think online stream, whether it's mine or somebody else's, other great Christian content creators, there's people who go on Twitch and just have church. I don't believe that should be the end all be all. You know, I do believe you're built for community. I tell people online, when you're looking for like to connect with people and you need confession or anything like that, I think there's a big difference to talking to somebody, you know, that doesn't have stake in your direct life, in your community. Bigger difference when you're willing to throw it all on the line for Christ right there with people that can affect you right where you live.
Yeah.
So I don't think this should be the end all be all, but I do think this is a good starting point. And I think the church has, the church did a great job at the beginning of the paper trail. You know, when paper was being produced at the beginning of all that, the printing press, the church was at the forefront of that thing. And, you know, the church had, quote unquote, so much success from it. And then the biggest communication shift in 500 years happened. The internet was built and the church was on the back burner of it and almost fought it essentially for a while and has been trying to play catch up, I would say, unsuccessfully for a while. Yeah. The church as a whole. There's been definitely outliners, but as a whole, church has been as successful. And what I'm starting to see with streaming and with gaming, but I say streaming because it's way bigger than gaming, is this is kind of where things are going. There are streamers right now getting contracts with the NFL because the NFL is realizing we are noticing that people are watching their streamers watch our games rather than watch our games themselves. It's kind of like having a host, you know, or a narrator. Yep. So you've got big content creators like Nick Merckx getting contracts with the NFL and all these big platforms that are realizing this is where things are headed. You look at YouTube, they're really pushing live streaming right now. They're trying to compete with Twitch, and you know, Facebook's came out to save itself with Facebook Gaming. And you have these mediums really pushing it. I think the church is going to do itself a disservice if we don't consider this one of the doors where we're going to reach people. I don't think this is where people should sit, but I think this is a door to get them in. And you know, I think young people, old people, in my opinion, I think they're all the same. In my opinion, I don't think that as a youth pastor, I don't think the teenagers are more quote unquote open to it more than some adults at my church. I think how I present it to them, they can be more open to it in different ways. But in my opinion, this is one of those avenues that I hope the church gets behind, because I think there's a reason why myself and so many other content creators have these massive followings that we have, because people are interested in this.
You know, with the pandemic, all of the streaming services for churches, like, it seemed like they went from none of it to all of them because they couldn't do anything else. But I will say, I mean, in my own personal experience, I'm not saying I can't get into it, but it's nowhere near the same experience versus actually going in person to a church and the community and totally. The interactions with people and everything like that. But at least it's a step forward. You know, one of the other things I want to talk to you about, a lot of the gaming community, a big portion of it is VR, virtual reality.
Yeah.
And that's what I see sort of the next step, you know, with going from in-person to streaming to, like, Facebook has Meta, the metaverse that they're trying to make, which is an entirely virtual reality online community and stuff like that. Do you do any of that stuff? Or, I mean, do you think you ever will? Do you ever think that's something you're open to?
So I don't. I'm not ignoring it, but I don't. I'm a big researcher, so I'll keep things really close, but I'm not actively involved in it. There are other ministries. There are Life Church has a VR church, you know, that they're a part of that you can log into. It's definitely not untouched space, but it definitely is newer space. I agree with you. I don't think any of this should be the end all be all. I was talking to another content creator, a friend of mine who does same thing, different game, different style. His name is Chris too. He's a content creator that on Twitch, and his name is Cross the Crown on Twitch. And he goes online and talks to people about God on Warzone. Very similar premise. And him and I were talking one day while we were doing a stream together, and he said something that I 100% agree with. He said, you know, the goal for for I think both of us would be that we log in and nobody's online because everybody's at a physical Bible study. Like, how cool would it be if I got on my Discord or whatever, nobody was online because on that Monday, they were all at that physical, in-person, local Bible study. So that's the goal. That's 100% the goal. But I think the church shouldn't be ignoring any of these things like VR or whatever. I do think that's what's coming next. I think you're silly if you're ignoring it, you know, and not at least paying attention to it. It's definitely coming. There's some online churches and some VR experiences on that road. I think as a whole, it's not there yet. For mass adoptability, it's not there yet. However, if you look at research, the Oculus app has been the number one downloaded app around Christmas time for the past 4 years in a row.
Wow.
So for anybody who does content online, anybody that wants to reach people online, I'll say, if you're ignoring that, you're really silly, you know? Yeah. And so I think the church as a whole needs to be okay with changing the method a little bit, you know, so that we can keep the message the same to people.
Have you ever done the VR stuff? Like, have you ever like had just played it, like not streamed it, but like played it?
You know, I have a little bit. I'm one of those people that I get so into something that if I played VR nonstop, I would break this room because I just know that I would like fall over, you know, something or think I'm going to die. I'm just that person that like, if I put it on, it is so real to me.
it really is, man. I've played it. One of my friend's sons had it and we were playing like a Star Wars, like Darth Vader thing or something like that. And I was not expecting how realistic it was. I wasn't one of those guys that like jumped through their television on YouTube, you see, but it was pretty close. It was pretty close. It was like, it's just so in depth. I mean, I was actually a little like disoriented when I came out of it. Did you ever see that movie Ready Player One? Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
It was 100% like that. It was like, what is real life anymore?
Totally.
It was very strange. It's very strange. Well, you know, I love the fact that we have all these tools and everything like that, but I agree with you. I definitely think that the in-person, interaction, I think that needs to be the core, you know. It amazes me what you do though. You know, I've been watching your videos a little bit and it's hard for many pastors to sort of maintain focus and everything when they're up on the stage or up at the pulpit preaching to somebody or, just even having a conversation, you know, trying to, witness to somebody or something like that. How much harder is it to do that when somebody's just popping you with Fortnite guns?
You know? Yeah. Pretty hard. You know, no, I'm joking. I think for some people that style of speaking or that style of interaction comes more natural. When I first became a Christian, I told you earlier, I was just plugging into everything I found. It was like week four of me being a Christian. And there was this, I'm from New York City originally. There was this subway ministry where they would go worship in the subways. I didn't even know what worship meant back then, but they would worship in the subways and then they would go talk to random people about God. So this is like week four of me as a Christian. And I was doing that, you know, I'm like, well, they told me to go talk to, you know, I'm going to go and they tap me and like, share your story. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. What is my story? So I think I've just always naturally, I've realized over the couple of years, I've kind of been gifted with this ability to be a little more improv, you know, and that's not to say that being more prepared is bad. I just think we're all different soldiers in different areas. And I happen to be more gifted with the improv stuff. And there's guys that can do this on a whole different platform, you know, with more preparation. I had to preach recently at my church and my lead pastor is two, three weeks ago. He was ill, but he told me he was going to be okay. So he was sick, but he told me the night before, I'm going to be fine. I'm just letting you know I'm sick, but I'll be there tomorrow. He got up, went to the church, didn't call me. He calls me like an hour and a half before church starts and goes, oh, I can't speak. I don't have a voice. So I had to come up with a message, you know, 20 minutes before giving it, really, like, seriously, I had to come up with a message 20, 30 minutes before. And I was shocked to hear it back and hear so many people say, that was such a great message, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I think, you know, for lack of a worse gaming term, I think I'm built this way. And I do better when I'm in those situations. So when I find myself in a Fortnite lobby or a random person comes in chat, and they ask me a random question because you can't control it. You have no idea what's going to be said in your chat room on Twitch and everybody sees it and they know you're going to see it at one point or another, you know, and you have a couple seconds to come up with a response or they ask, you know, something happens in your headset. And for me, I found it really hasn't been that difficult to have that conversation, to do that improv. I enjoy it almost. I kind of work better under pressure. I've always been that way when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I almost enjoy it. I found that when I plan it out more and I sit there and I kind of rehearse what we're going to do that day or who we're going to talk to and the type of conversation we're going to have, it's harder for me. And that's been a new thing because I podcast as well. And it's harder, you know, it's so much harder to kind of pre-plan that, where I would much more rather enjoy 5,000 things happening, gunshots going off in a game while also listening to the person. Yeah. Over the ear and have that conversation. It's, I don't know, it's more fun for me personally. I really enjoy it. And I kind of enjoy the randomness that comes with it and what it creates. Some of my funniest moments and my best moments on Twitch have just been from random things that have now become consistent things that we do.
I get the same thing. Like whenever I do one of these things, I try and have like a general overview. I try and prepare the guests. I let them know what we're going to talk about, but I try not to go like exact, you know, like this is it. Right. Yeah. And one of my favorite questions, I'm going to spoil it for you. One of my favorite questions is at the end of every episode, I say, you know, what was the last goal you completed? And what's the next goal? There. Everybody always says, I don't give anybody any time. There it is. I snuck that one in. It's coming. It's coming later. All right.
There you go. So okay.
It also, you know, it can't all be positive as well. I mean, have you ever had any negative reactions to somebody in your stream or anything like that? Like, how do you handle that at all?
All the time.
Really?
probably every day. I mean, if you make content in general, whether it's long form on YouTube, short form on TikTok or live stream, I mean, you know, you just glance through the comments and you're going to find somebody that disagrees with you, whether it be another creator or a random person that comes in. I will say this. I have found that if I'm talking to somebody randomly, whether it's on a microphone or whatever, I found that if I approach them with respect and I let them also have a voice. So I think sometimes as Christians, we want to shove a message down so far that we don't want to hear. And if we do hear, we're almost hearing to rebuttal. We're not just hearing to hear. And I found that if I let people seriously just have their time, you know, it doesn't really turn negative. And I will say this, that I haven't had, when I'm talking to random people about God, I haven't had too many negative encounters. I would say, and it's hard to even remember the negative ones. However, people are a lot more vocal and quick to be themselves when they can't be heard or seen. So when people are commenting or they come into a chat, I mean, it happens all the time where you get negative comments or people come in with hate or just inappropriate stuff. And my opinion is, you always kill them with kindness. And I think that's what Christ did. I think that's what God did. When you look all throughout scripture is, you know, yeah, there's times he had wrath, but he always did it with kindness. And even through the wrath, there was kindness after the fact. So when people come in, my mods know we're not the stream that we immediately ban people. I had somebody come in just my last stream. And I mean, say some pretty inappropriate things right off the bat. He was definitely trolling. He or she was trolling. And, you know, it was just some really rude things that would be really rude to anybody that follows God. And nobody in my community bashed them. They were saying nice things to them. They were trying to welcome them on air. You know, I kept saying, hey, as long as you can keep it respectful, we'll be part of the, you can be part of the community. You don't have to believe to belong here. And I think if you kill people with kindness, they kind of realize how foolish they're being.
Yeah.
Cause we should be able to have a conversation and disagree, you know? And obviously there's times where we have to kick people out or ban them. And my mods have an emote of a hammer that they like to throw down when they do that, because they'll say they're gentle, but they'll throw the hammer down if they need to. But overall, you know, I do think people can, I think there's a lot of positivity out there that is unseen, but I'd be silly to say that it's all like that. And I just think when it happens, you have to kill them with kindness. So I don't respond to comments. I don't respond to negative comments. I try to always respond with kindness, regardless of the situation. I get my videos on TikTok, you know, copied and pasted by atheists or just negative people that want to say disgusting things. And I thank them because they're helping TikTok push my videos out. So, you know, if you're making content or you're, you know, trying to do something for God or something that's just good in general, take the negative stuff as a compliment. Be grateful that they're sharing your stuff. They're giving you publicity and keep it moving, because you don't know who's going to come from that. I've had people come in from negativity, like a community coming from negativity. And then I've had one person say, wow, you're really kind, because they saw how everybody was reacting and they stuck through it. And now they're part of the community later on. So just continue being kind, I think, is always the best thing.
Yeah, 100%. You know, that actually reminds me of something as well. You know, I've had some similar situations like that too. And the way that you respond to somebody criticizing you or leaving something negative on your comment section or something like that is often more of a pull for somebody to be into you than that would be. And also, you know, it makes me think about Romans 12 about being a living sacrifice, you know, and everything that we do, as long as it's glorifying God. I think that kind of speaks to you a lot, because, you know, I'm sure there's some kid out there whose parents are watching him play, you know, Call of Duty or Halo or Fortnite or something like that, shooting all these people and spending hours of it at a time and just wondering, you know, what is this for? But the fact that you are glorifying God the entire time with all these people you speak with is just, it's a beautiful thing to me, you know? Yeah. I love what you sort of accomplished online and the following that you've gathered. I want to say you have like close to 250,000 people following you on TikTok because of all this stuff now. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, just a little bit over, I think, somewhere around there.
Actually, I watched one of your videos. Do you have any, like, do you feel like there's any sort of like responsibility or like, do you feel like you ever like have to like hold up your reputation or something like that as a Christian? Do you have any of that? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah,
like,
totally.
Inside your head, you know, like as you're talking, it's like, oh, is this the right thing to say or something like that?
To an extent. Yeah. So as a pastor, the scripture that comes to my head is, you know, there's guidelines for ministers. And one of them is be above reproach, meaning that, you know, let no bad thing be said about you. So if you're going to go in a room with somebody, make sure that you do it in a way that nobody can say, oh, I wonder what they're doing in that room, you know, or how you talk and all that, your mannerisms. With all that being said, though, I did not grow up as a Christian. So I never saw purity culture. I never saw how pastors acted. I kind of became a Christian and then boom, all this kind of happened. And I've kind of been myself without seeing too much history behind me. And I think that it did me a favor, because I think it's okay to be yourself in that. You know, I think God gifted me with humor. I think, you know, I make silly jokes that can sometimes, maybe with the wrong audience, can seem inappropriate if you take it the wrong way. I try really hard to not think too much about, you know, who I am. Obviously, you need to uphold a certain standard, you know, and be that sacrifice, kind of what you said before. For Christ to an audience that's going to look at you and judge you. You know, I'm an online persona. They are going to look at me. They're going to judge me for who I am and how I act. And non-Christians, the world is going to judge me even more. So I think that that's part of it. But I also think that you just kind of have to be yourself. And I think if you watch my content or my streams long enough, you'll quickly realize that, like, I am myself in an appropriate manner. So, you know, I have a wife, I've got kids, I make jokes about them, with them. We did a stream recently. I won't tell you what happened, but we did a stream recently where I was playing this game with my community, and they were asking me questions, and if I didn't want to answer the question, we spun a wheel, and half of the stuff were punishments for me, and half of it was positive stuff I was going to do to some other content creator, and we were going to bless people, trying to make that great family friendly content. Well, they asked me a question that wasn't bad. But if you watched my stream, the way I kind of reacted in my head, they could tell I was thinking of something that really wasn't inappropriate, but in the way it came off, definitely kind of could be taken that way. And I mean, the comments were being spammed. Pastor Steven, this is a family-friendly stream. What are you doing? Keep it clean, you know. And we did nothing wrong. It was a silly joke because of how I looked, because of how the question was asked. Very wholesome question, but my mannerisms reacted a certain way. I think there's grace for that. You know, I think you got to be yourself. I think people want to know that you are one of them, because if you set the bar all the way to the highest point and it's unattainable, then what's the point? You know, like if you meet this kid who's always messing up, or, you know, can't ever change himself, and I set the bar so high, there's nothing for him. And I don't think that was ever in the Bible. When I read through, I see these guys and girls that were mess ups, that did have mistakes, that were silly at times. You know, they said that they had struggles at times. And I think you got to be real. So I try to be honest about my struggles or even my past struggles. I'm silly on my streams. I mean, I think if you really dissect my stuff, you can quote unquote look for bad things in there, you know, if you really want to dissect it. But I'm just trying to be myself. I think I just want to say this. I met a pastor at, he was 60 years old, and he told me the greatest thing about being 60 is I have so much confidence now. I'm so confident. And I was grateful for him sharing that with me, but I realized I don't want to be that. I don't want to be at 60 years old feeling like I can be myself. I'm going to be now. You know, I'm in my 30s, in my early 30s. I want to be confident now and just be who I am. And if I'm not for you, there's other great content creators out there. I'm for somebody else. But
yeah,
you got to be yourself for sure.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, it amazes me, even like on a small scale, when you talk to like your local church or something like that, whenever I'm dealing with somebody that is a non-believer, and there's always this sort of aura that I see, like people are like, it's like, it's not respect. It's like a questioning, like, you know, like what do you do? Like, what is your thing? You know what I mean? Like, and we forget, you know, once we start growing in Christ a little bit, I think we have a tendency to forget that we're called to come to Christ as we are. And I can totally see what you're saying too. You know, and that speaks to you again about what we were talking about earlier about, you know, coming to where these kids are, to where the people in your stream are at. Like, you know, maybe they got off work and they had a bad day and they just want to, you know, watch somebody else play Fortnite. You know, it's really pretty interesting, how quickly we can sort of get over that and be like, oh, I'm better than that. But it's not about you. It's about them.
Yeah, exactly.
You've created a fairly large following online. And, you know, streaming has become this very popular thing. There's all these big creators like Mr. Beast and Ninja and this guy, Dr. Disrespect, I've seen. They have this giant platform. Do you think that those people... do you think they have a responsibility to sort of to share their values as well? And do you see more Christian content creators coming like you're doing in the future?
There's so many streamers out there with massive, huge followings, and it's only growing. It's only every day there's a new content creator. And I mean, the statistics out there are insane. Like there are more, I think there are three times the amount of just Twitch streamers, not even YouTube, just Twitch streamers, than there are employees at Walmart right now. So, I mean, it's changing. There's so many people out there. The influence is growing. And I think, I hate to say this, but I actually am of the different opinion. I think they don't have a responsibility to share their values. However, and this is where my content has changed over the last couple months. However, values are out there and their personalities are out there. And whether you are appropriate, inappropriate, it's pretty easy to see kind of who somebody is, what they stand for. You've got people who look up to them, who want to be them, who are going to emulate them. And there's good sides of this. There's some great content creators that are wholesome. And then there's also people that, I mean, are just inappropriate or rude or just, you know, all around, I would say are just bad, you know, for your average person, your average student or adult watching their type of content. And so while they don't have a responsibility, in my opinion, to do any of that, they just have a following and it's up to them what they do with that following, good or bad. I think for the Christian, for the wholesome person watching this, I shift it to me. I always kind of take a problem and I turn it to myself. It's our responsibility to figure out how we are going to catch up and take that audience, you know? Because in my opinion, I don't want people watching some of these content creators. I love some of them, but I don't want everybody watching all these people because they're not great. They're not wholesome. Yeah, maybe they're great at their craft, but you know, at what sacrifice? So I think it's our responsibility. If you're gifted in this particular area, you know, and there's so many people that are greater, in my opinion, gifted than me. If you're gifted in this area, then use it to the full potential and run with it. There's some great content creators out there that are as big as these guys and are wholesome and are Christians. I've had some private messages from people that are at those top tier, I would say, you know, the 0.1% of top streamers, and they're Christians. And they'll tell you, hey, I love what you do. I'm struggling with like how to bring it out there because I'm nervous to talk about it because I have this big following. That's when I think it is our responsibility to grow it, get that following, and then utilize our platform for something that somebody else is not doing. So I've shifted my type of content. I used to love to go in and talk to random people about God. And I realized there's other people that do that now. There's not a whole lot of just family-friendly content. So my big thing now is I want to make great, wholesome, fun, family-friendly content that just so happens to have a kind of a Christian twist to it. So I take whatever these big guys are doing. Like, there's another big streamer whose name is Ludwig. I kind of take what they're doing. I watch it and I go, that's great. That's amazing. You cursed every 5 seconds. How am I going to take that and make it family friendly that the whole family can watch? So we recently, a lot of content creators have been doing this thing where they rank items. Like, they rank their favorite restaurants. They rank their favorite, you know, whatever it is. They put these tiers and they rank them. And I saw these bigger content creators doing that. And I said, great, you know what I'm going to do? We're going to rank after church Sunday food spots. Okay. And we did that for a stream. It was great. We were 2 hours. We're debating, yelling, figuring out what's going to be the best spot to go to after church. What's the worst spot?
Yeah.
But just trying to make that content that's equal, if not par, hopefully greater than what other people are putting out, but then make it my prerogative to go out there and let Christ be known, or let my values be known, because they're probably not going to do it. And if other people do it, it might not be what God wanted to push out there anyway. So I'm not worried too much about what other creators are doing. I'm really honed in right now of how can I be the best content creator out there,
yeah,
and bring Christ into it.
You know, going back to what you're saying about ranking all the different fast food things, I could see where the negative comments would come in on that immediately. I would stray away from that so hard. I watched somebody else during March Madness for basketball. Yeah. They did the March Madness of all the different like snacks that they did. And I got so invested in it, like more than any rational adult should get into it. I was like, are you telling me that Andy's mints beat Skittles or something like that? I was like, it was the strangest thing, but I was mad. I was big mad.
Yeah, it was kind of shocking to see kind of the arguments people would have, you know, when I rank certain foods lower or higher on the tier. And, you know, it was kind of just kind of crazy how intense church folk took their after church food.
That's hilarious, man. That's hilarious. Well, it's amazing, you know, about what you were just saying earlier about being family friendly and everything like that. You know, I love speaking to young people. And it seems like whenever I tell somebody that I'm on YouTube or that I'm a content creator or something like that, young people are so, it's like what every single one of them wants to do. Oh, I want to be a streamer. Yeah. Or I want to do this. I mean, it's such a big thing right now. Yep. So for those people listening, I mean, if you had one piece of advice to give to somebody that was in that same position, wanted to do something similar to what you want to do, or just something on their own as a content creator, what do you think that would be?
First and foremost, this is going to be cheesy, but it is the truth. I would say before you even get involved with it, make sure you are, if you're a Christian, make sure you're healthy spiritually. Make sure you're as solid as you can, because your content and everything that you make is going to be 1,000 times better. I can say that when I make content and I'm just in a struggling spot, it's not good. You're kind of forcing yourself out there. You want God to use you rather than you try to do it yourself. I know that sounds cheesy, but that'd be my first advice. And then after that, my honest advice would be to just put yourself out there. So many people message me all the time to say, hey, what do I need to get started? What am I going to do? And I always send them a picture of a friend of mine. She grew on TikTok from zero to like, you know, 50,000 followers on TikTok. She grew a Twitch stream alongside me. We're both in the top like near 1% of Twitch streamers. And she sent a photo of herself in pajamas, a PlayStation 4, and a small TV on top of a vacuum cleaner box with her phone propped up with like a milk carton or something holding her phone. Right. And she tweeted it and sent it to a couple friends of ours and said, I grew on TikTok from zero to 50,000 and this was my setup.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show you that like, you just got to go out there and get your reps in. You know, it's like, how do you get muscle? You don't need this like big thing. You go and you just start doing it. And you're going to figure it out as you go, and you're going to meet the right people, and you're going to find the right fitness plan down the road. You just go and you wake up and you decide, I'm going to do this. Yeah. So put content out there every single day. And don't worry about being the streamer or the best streamer. I actually tell people, if they want to make content or be a streamer, don't stream. Just make content, make YouTube videos, make TikTok videos, do all that. Figure out what you're good in, what works for you, and then the rest will come naturally, you know? And I'm sure other content creators say the same things along those lines, but just start putting yourself out there, make content today. Whatever you have, whatever phone. I keep this on my desk. It's so funny you asked me. This is my cell phone. So I have an iPhone 13, but I keep this iPhone 8. If you're watching the YouTube, I keep this iPhone 8 in my hands. The back is cracked. The front is cracked. The reason why I keep it in my hands is because this is how I grew my following on all the platforms over the last 2 years. The back camera on that phone does not work. The front camera only worked just like 50% of the time. And the charger wouldn't even work. I had to wirelessly charge that phone all the time. Yet that's how I made all my content for a year and a half. So you use what God's given you, and I think you'll find God's given you exactly what you need right now to make content right now. And if you're faithful with what you have right now, God will bring the rest later on. I'm living testament to that. I'm on a $7,000 setup right now that was gifted to me. You know, gifted to me from others. And I think you just make content now. Don't waste time. You feel like you're supposed to do it. Do it. God will do the rest.
That is fantastic advice. I 100% agree. You know, in the podcasting community too, when you're online and, you know, I see so many questions from people online that like, how do I do this? Or what's the best way to do this? The best way, I've always said it right from the start, is just to jump in. Like, yeah, your first couple episodes are going to suck. like mine were terrible, like real bad, you know, but just put yourself out there and just make it happen. And, I think so many people are so so worried about what other people are going to think. And, you know, I think you just got to put it out there and let it be out in the open, out in the wild.
It's funny looking back too, because you start having success and you start to think like, oh, my content's great. And then a year later you look back and you're like, that content was horrible. Yep. And then 2 years, you know, you just keep looking back. It's always bad because you're in a better spot. So just start where you're at. You'll be fine.
That's hilarious, man.
Yeah, I promise you, you're going to look back and always think it's bad.
Oh yeah. Totally. 100%. Yeah. And I fall into that category 100%. Well, this has just really been a blast talking to you. You know, where can people find out about you if they're looking for you? Give us all your social media and all your Twitch and all that stuff.
Yeah. So I'm pretty much Pastor Steven with two N's, because Pastor Steven with one N was taken by a guy that makes no content. And I messaged him one day and was like, hey, think I could have the handle, because you know you posted two videos in 3 years and I do all this. And his response was like, no, just in case. And he's never made content. But anyway, don't go to his socials and blast him. He's actually a really nice guy. But Pastor Steven with two N's pretty much everywhere: TikTok, Twitch, even my gaming socials are Pastor Steven everywhere. You can find me on Twitch, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube as well. But anywhere you go, Pastor Steven, just type in the two N's so you're not hitting up the wrong one.
Yeah. Well, that's so funny. My Twitter is the exact same way. Somebody had already taken Misfit Heroes. Haven't posted anything since 2012, when I think they were in middle school. But hey, whatever. It's all good. I'm not too salty about it.
It's funny how that is.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, man, this has been a real blast. I really enjoyed talking to you. You know, I gave you a clue at the beginning of the episode. So it's time. At the end of every episode, I ask my guest one question. It's two parts. So what was the last goal that you completed? And what's the next goal that you want to set for yourself?
They're silly, maybe silly things. I'm a gamer, but I suck at video games. Like, I'm just trash. I tell people all the time, don't come to my stream for the gameplay, because it's not ideal. You're going to see me dying more than usual.
Right.
But I kind of was like, you know what? I want to be, I'm tired of being a below average Fortnite player, because I like this game. I want to get good. And I just started playing the game nonstop. I told myself, we're not gonna play any other game but Fortnite, no matter what. And I'm not going to go out there and say I'm the best, because that'd be a lie. I'm still, you know, Pastor Steven. However, I'm grateful to say last couple of months, I can now hold my own. My greatest accomplishment to this was I had these friends of mine that are content creators that would just make fun of me all the time, because I was such a bad player. And I played with them. They didn't know I was secretly trying to get better. And I played with them one day, and I remember one of them going, "Oh, snap." And then the other one going, "We can't make fun of Steven anymore." So I think I've gotten there. I'm at my accomplishment. Don't think I'm going to get any. I think I've maxed out, but we're okay. I'll take it. And where I'm at right now, it sounds so silly, but I've always been kind of a skinny guy. And I told my wife and I told my community, actually, I think my next goal is we're going to start building some muscle physically on this. So
there you go.
So that when I jump into a video game and I'm using a character with muscle, I can kind of relate a little bit more, you know? So I haven't worked out that full plan yet, what that's going to look like, but maybe we'll just run it like I did with Fortnite, and we'll find it as we go. But maybe if we do a podcast again in a year, I'll have a little more muscle on me.
For sure. Well, I welcome it. I'm in both of those boats as well. Terrible video games and need to work out a lot more than I should. So yeah, man. Well, that's awesome, dude. Well, I really I'm looking forward to what's coming for you. I think the entire sort of genre of what you're doing, I'm want to see a lot more growth in that. I think it's just a beautiful thing. And I think that, I think you're doing it all for the right reasons. I really appreciate what you do, man. It's been a lot of fun talking to you.
I appreciate it. It's so much fun.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Misfits, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this show up. Steven, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And
likewise.
I want people to go check you out and give us the socials one more time. It's Pastor Steven N on everything. Is that right?
Yes. Pastor Steven N everywhere. PastorStevenN.com as well. Just pulls up all my handles so you can see everything right then and there.
All right. Very good. Well, Misfits, we'll put all that stuff down in the show notes. You know exactly what to do. Thanks again for coming on, Steven. It's been a blast.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
No worries. Have a good one. Well, Misfits, we did it. That's our episode. I want to thank you so much for listening, and thanks again to our sponsors. If you want to support any of the sponsors of this podcast, there are affiliate links on the sponsors tab of our website over at www.misfit-heroes.com. You can also find links to all of our social media there, so be sure to follow us for immediate up-to-date info about the podcast. Please, if you like this show and you want to help me out, do me a favor. Hit the subscribe button down below so you're notified of new episodes as they're released, and make sure to leave a rating and review of the show on Apple Podcasts and YouTube. Truly, Misfits, I love you. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, as always, be kind, love one another, and be a hero.